Here we go. Welcome to my podcast. Awesome. Big Fiddle Show. Hey, man. Good to see you.
This is our first crossover.
Right.
First crossover old time podcast, as far as I know.
Ever did. Did you ever see Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't cross the streams.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
We're
but they
the
do
streams.
That in the end, and that's what saves the day.
Right, so this can save the whole world right here.
Good.
This whole deal.
Cheers. So far, you're a better podcast host because you bought me beer.
Actually, I managed to get these beers for free.
Oh, okay, because, yeah, this episode is sponsored by Bog
this
Bog Turtle Brewery.
Yeah, Bog Turtle Brewery. And if you call my hotline, the number I'm putting down here on the screen.
Are you going to do
I might send you this.
Very good.
I might mail you.
Free swag.
Yeah, but the operating word there is might.
Might.
I'm putting the number right here. See, can you see it? Folks, I'm putting the number right here. I don't have the number of my hotline memorized, which is kind of a sad thing.
You got to do that.
Yeah, well, I'll work on it.
That's episode 5.
That's right.
The show's still going well. All right, who's going to interview you first? Should I ask you about your show?
Sure, ask me about my show.
Tell me about your show. There's 2 episodes out at the time of recording this.
There's 2 episodes.
I'm going to release this soon.
Okay, good, yeah. Good.
So
this might go up. This might go up for me, like, right away.
Okay. Maybe we'll both release it.
Yeah, okay.
At the same time.
Good. Let's coordinate.
Okay, cool.
Same day.
That would make sense. Why wouldn't we do that?
I don't know.
Obviously. Okay, so Possum's Big Fiddle Show.
Possum's Big Fiddle Show. I was inspired by your podcast, and also my son has a podcast.
Really?
Yeah. It was previously called Sports with a Capital F. And now it's called the 1 Gram Army. And he is a buddy of his in Georgia do this podcast where they talk about everything, conspiracy theories, you know, whatever.
Is that Graham hyphen on Facebook?
No.
Because there's this guy who's been posting his own video series on your Friends of the Mando Mule site.
Oh, yeah, that's Graham.
That's him.
That's
okay.
Him. That's my son.
I thought it was some random dude just spamming your site. I was
no,
like, this dude's great. And you're totally humoring him. I'm like, no. Charlie's such a good sport.
No, that's my spawn.
Yeah. Oh, very good.
So that's my inspiration.
So much sense. Sports with a capital F. Is it a sports podcast?
It was, but now he kind of ran out of steam on sports, and there's so many sports podcasts that he's moving on to geoengineering, Armageddon, end of the world.
Oh, very good. Yes.
Everybody's interested in that, right? Sure, why not? Hey, this is pretty good beer.
It's really good. Yeah. Bog Turtle Brewery.
Bog Turtle Brewery,
take the
folks.
Camera.
Somewhere here in Pennsylvania. By the way, where are we?
We're at Brandywine Revival. Yeah. This is like the fifth or sixth one. Yeah.
So you've been to several of these, right?
Yeah, this is like my, I think, fourth one. Uh-huh. I missed 1 year. So however long I've been coming to this, 1 year more than that.
Right.
That's how long it's been going.
It's great. This is my first one. It's of small festivals, like this is the most intense bunch of old-time music I've ever been around. You know? It's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. It's really good. Did you know that there used to be one before?
Right, right. Yeah.
Before it was revived, the dead one.
That's right.
I haven't heard much about it other than they once burned a hammered dulcimer in effigy. My only hammered dulcimer guest, Dev Justice, told me that. That's all I know about, yeah.
Like Il Duce at the end of World War II. They strung it up and burned it. Excellent.
Yeah, so that's all I know about it.
Right, that's only surpassed by the great disco demolition that happened in the 70s at the White Sox Park in Chicago. They blew up a bunch of disco records. They set them on fire.
People really hated disco, didn't they?
Actually, they didn't. They secretly loved it, but nobody wanted to.
It's like a guilty pleasure.
Right.
I really like everything that I've heard.
Oh yeah, disco's awesome. What are you talking about?
I think like today, guilty pleasure is like, because irony is a thing.
Sure.
So you can have guilty pleasures
as long as it's ironic.
As long as it's ironic, but really, it's not.
No, because you really like.
Yeah, you're not aloof. Yeah, you love it.
Right.
So I think that's like a cool thing that modern culture is allowed.
Right.
You do enjoy things that are silly.
Right, like I'm wearing top cider boat shoes right now, but only ironically. You
know? Right. Yeah. And we joke, but I think it serves a useful function.
It's a real thing, yeah. So in a way, playing the fiddle and the banjos is kind of this ironic thing. You know, if around people who don't know about it, you could always treat it as some kind of ironic pastime you're engaged in, when really, like, you're totally sucked into it.
Yeah, totally.
Consuming your entire life. Yeah. You know, we worked out the tunes we were going to play. We should have played Brandywine. You know that tune?
No, that's a tune.
Yeah, that's a tune. It's a Kenny Baker tune.
I mean, is it hard?
Not really.
We'll just play it.
Shall we try a little bit of it? Should we try it right now?
I need to change the tune anyway.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, go
so we'll go to a G.
Go to G, yeah. Yeah, Brandywine. It's a Kenny Baker tune. It's on one of his records. And I think he performed at one of those original Brandywine festivals, if I'm not mistaken. Thank you. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. That's a great tune.
Oh, boy. That's awesome.
Yeah.
There are some shapes in there that I've never played before, and I still haven't played.
Right, but yeah. Especially on the second part, there's some nice things going on. Yeah.
Kenny Baker. Man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I gotta transcribe some Kenny Baker.
A lot of his tunes would work nice on clawhammer banjo. They're kind of, they're really kind of old time tunes. You know?
But they're really, really noted.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. They got all the notes.
Right, right. Some guy walked by last night. We're in the corner against the retaining wall, and he looked and said, "I like your music. There's a lot of notes."
I'm starting to like. I feel like after playing with you a few times off mic, I feel like I'm starting to learn how to play with Midwestern fingers.
Yeah.
Like, turn off my brain. Because as long, I mean, the counting happens.
Yes.
The chords are somewhat predictable.
Right, right.
So as long as I'm, like, outlining things.
Right.
That I can fake my way through.
Yep.
And then there's, like, a lot of room for nonsense.
Yes.
Which is the most fun part.
Right, right. Because in a way, even though it's melodic and kind of, in a way, dictated, but yeah, you can move around that melody, you know.
Yeah.
Play with that contour.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, no, that's good stuff, man. I love your banjo.
Thanks, yeah. Yeah. Likewise.
I'm glad to say that, folks. He's a good banjo player. I think I said that once before, but I'll say it again.
So on your first episode, you had some, you had like some electric guitar. Was that you?
That was me playing the electric guitar.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know you played electric. I've never seen you play anything other than fiddle.
Oh yeah, okay. No, I mess around with mandolin a little bit.
Right. Oh yeah, obviously.
Right. Well, yeah.
The mule. Well, that's a different.
Right. But let's not let that out because people don't realize that who the mule is.
Is the mule here today?
He is. In fact,
is the mule going to make an appearance?
He could possibly. We could go to break and the mule could appear. You know.
I would have like put like a little trigger warning like in my video or my edit. It says, just so you know, the mule's about to appear.
That's right.
After the commercial break.
You can turn this off now, you know, if you want to.
Just emotionally prepared.
Take the kids out of the room. But yeah, you know, I did a Mando Mule video recently with Matt Brown. You know that?
You did a Mando Mule video with Matt Brown?
That hadn't been released yet.
Oh my God.
And it's hot.
Is he wearing is he being a furry as well?
No, he's not a furry himself. But he was very...
Matt Brown playing himself, and you're the mule.
And I'm the mule, right.
I would love to see
that's coming up soon.
Okay.
I've got the raw video. I haven't put it up yet. It's coming.
Follow the link and right. Yeah.
Mando Mule has its own channel, by the way.
Yeah. Separate entity.
I'll put that link up, yeah. You have to keep a little distance between myself and that mule persona. Yeah.
It's probably from
kind of like Clark Kent with Superman.
Not dissimilar.
Not at all. So I notice you're drinking both coffee and beer.
Yeah.
What's the deal with that?
This is my third interview, and I need substances to...
to maintain the pattern.
Yeah. Yes.
So let me ask you what you've been doing lately.
I've been finishing up my job.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. What's going on? What's going down?
I just did my, like, last final performance with the kids. Like, because I, like, teach pop music.
Right, right.
Yeah. So, we took them to, like, a recording studio, which is awesome.
Wow.
And it was the only time they've ever behaved. Just because they were like, whoa, this place is awesome. I didn't know you were preparing me for this.
Yeah, it was a
like
real
a
place.
Nice recording studio.
Yeah.
And they recorded their songs, and which maybe I'll include a link for that, because there's going to be,
that'd be awesome.
Music videos and stuff, and there's some pretty good stuff.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, very hashtag teen life music. So.
Now you have another podcast, which I discovered.
I do.
I've listened to many times.
Are you serious?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, awesome.
I just stumbled onto it by looking you up one time to find your links to your podcast after I was on it.
Tell me
something about that.
I think there's very little overlap between my Get Up in the Cool listeners and Think Outside the Box set listeners. I haven't run into many people who've said they listen to it, because I think it plays to a very different...
You might be
surprised. I've gotten at least one... Okay, so I'll explain what it is for those. Think Outside the Box set, and this is going to sound tedious when I describe it, but I swear it's fun and lighthearted. But we choose an artist, a recording artist.
Name of it, exactly.
Garth Brooks was our season one.
Right, right.
And we listen to every album in order and do a song by song review. And the goal is to sort of, there's a different sort of thing, a mystery to unravel.
Yes.
With each artist. Garth Brooks, the mystery was, he's the single highest selling solo recording artist in the United States of all time. Still
more than Elvis.
Yes.
Really? Wow.
He's and for wow. any recording artist, he's second behind the Beatles.
That's incredible. I bet a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, which is the mystery.
Right.
How can this person who I've never listened to an album, I have maybe heard one song prior to this recording this podcast, how can he be so influential?
So
and
huge.
So huge and like and so he must be a different demographic or like so the goal is like is the music deserving like this many sales
and that much following
and that much following and how do people consume this music? So we did Garth Brooks and then we did Insane Clown Posse total left turn the thing there was Insane Clown Posse has this huge dedicated cult following. They're actually like recognized by the FBI as like a some sort of gang, like a loosely affiliated gang, and they've been like protesting to try to get off the list.
Sure.
They're not.
Not really.
I mean, they maybe hurt themselves at festivals or each other, you know, but like they're not like, you know, they're only scary conceptually.
They're not doing drive-bys.
No. So the idea was like, is this, you know, why is there this huge cult following? Is it, how much is it about the actual music that they record? And how much is it about the sort of effect of the community? So we did that, and then we did Alanis Morissette. That was our
That's
third
really,
season.
Really nice
and we just finished that. And that was a little more in our paradigm slightly, but neither of us had listened to it. And we just started season 4, which is T-Pain. Are you familiar with T-Pain?
I don't know that.
T-Pain was like...
is that a solo artist?
Yeah. R&B singer from the 2000s.
Oh, wow.
And he was sort of notorious and infamous for using autotune. But he used it as like an instrument, not as a crutch, because he's a fantastic singer.
Right.
You know, so he sort of became this punchline. You know, people didn't really take him serious, in part because of that. But he's actually like a really a producer. Like we've listened to the first album, and it's amazing. And it's challenging a lot of my ideas of like maybe some latent racism in me about like misogyny in hip hop and R&B.
Yeah.
You know, and as I'm listening to it, we're trying to like figure this out. Also, it's like our first black artist that we're covering, so we're trying to like take it with a grain. You know, like not be two white guys just like
talking about a black artist.
Trying to like this misogyny. You know? So but it's been like really interesting.
Right.
So and the response has been like really, really positive, and we make a lot of jokes and it's a really silly show.
But, oh,
like,
for sure.
A lot of people have responded and saying like, hey, I'm listening to music different now because of this, this show. So it's been like more musically fulfilling than I thought it would be.
Right.
It's been like fun.
Well, and you really have to drill down, right? I mean,
you've got homework every week. You know, like am doing close reads of Insane Clown Posse songs.
Looking at the lyrics. Well, you know, you're talking about Garth Brooks. I remember when I lived in Columbia, Missouri, in the 80s.
Was he big there?
He was huge.
Yeah.
But he was huge everywhere, of course. But
you'd
go in a bar. There was this bar there called the Silver Bullet, which, remember country line dancing? I think that's kind of gone out of vogue.
Right.
But, so his tunes were big for country line dancing. And would like, you know, the tune, My Good Friends.
Oh, yeah. But
when that came on, the whole bar would sing, 300 people.
Yeah.
Singing his song at the top of their lungs.
That's a great song.
Oh, it's a freaking wonderful song.
Yeah. It's really good.
Incredible song.
He did not write it.
Oh, he didn't?
Well, he doesn't have... Well, he may have a writing credit.
Yes.
But he doesn't write most... He's written, like, one song, two, that have just him. Yeah, which...
So somebody else wrote it.
But he curates these...
Of course.
You know, these sets.
And, well, and he's the performer. So
right. It's like a very music industry kind of thing.
But he's awesome.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
He's really, really good.
Yeah, it was easy.
And he's... And there's another, like, preconception. He's surprisingly progressive.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Sometimes he does some pandering stuff that I don't believe he believes, but, like, I think he's just trying to, like, talk to his audience or something.
He's not Toby Keith, for instance.
No, he's not Toby Keith. He gets a little bit that way, but there's, like, he won a GLAAD Media Award. I don't remember what that stands for, but it's a gay and lesbian.
Right, right.
Like, because in that one song, he was like, when we're free to love anyone we choose, you know, and like, that pissed some people off. And he's like he was an Obama supporter, alienated a lot of his following, you know. It's been a eye-opening experience to listen to these artists and just be like, have some of my prejudices eroded.
Right, that's awesome.
It's nice. I'm trying to get rid of them.
It's not good, easy to do.
Fun way to do it. Yeah.
Hey, should we play it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we yeah. can. I'm trying to look at the list here. Oh, we don't have any other G tunes.
Oh, that was it. Okay.
Should we go to? Do you want to go to A or G?
Sure. Go to A. Let's go to A. Let's try that. Talk to Dinah.
Yeah.
You said it was called Who's Gonna Talk to Dinah?
Yeah, I've heard Dinah. Mm-hmm. Who's Gonna Talk to Dinah? And Talk to Dinah right. Now with You. So I don't remember if they're familiar.
Same tune.
Similar.
Yeah, similar tune.
Probably.
Yeah. So I got mine from Pete McMahon, a guy who lived in Central Missouri. He taught me the tune, but we'll play a little bit of it here. It's kind of a borderline bluegrass kind of tune too.
Keep this on the DL.
Yeah. You know. Sorry, folks. It's there is bluegrass in this world.
So your podcast is a fiddle podcast. You do not just do all time music.
No,
you do
all sorts of any. Stuff. Yeah, I hope to interview anybody who's messing with the fiddle. You know.
Yeah.
Hey, be sure to call the hotline and put the number down there.
I gotta start that for Google. That's
Google great. Voice, you know, that's how you get it.
Yeah.
So, you ready to go?
Talk to Dinah.
Talk to Dinah. Good number.
Very good.
So, you know, who's running this festival again? I think
Claire and Walt.
Claire and Walt. Yeah, you know, I haven't found you a copy of Walt's book here. Walt wrote this. It's sort of a about how he learned to play music.
Have you read it?
I've read it. I've read it cover to cover. Awesome. He's a St. Louis guy, you know. He's from Webster Groves, Missouri.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and the first part of it's pretty interesting. He talks about taking his banjo and like quitting his job and just hitchhiking around playing his banjo. This would have been in the late 60s, probably early 70s. But it's great. You mind if I just open it up?
Yeah, you hear your favorite passage.
Oh, no, I'm just going to take a passage at random.
Okay,
That's all right.
Fair use, right?
Fair use, totally. And you know, we're advertising his book, so people can pick up a copy of this book. You can get it right here. Let's see if I can find it.
This episode's sponsored by
and by Bog Turtle Brewery.
Yeah.
By Bog Turtle Brewery. Her bosom trembled slightly as she contemplated his ample manhood. That's right here on page 86. I don't want to go much further than that, but folks, you definitely want to get a copy of this book.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, it's a bit of an expose of Walt's early life, you know. So.
If that doesn't get him flying off the shelf, I don't know
You were expecting that.
No, I wasn't.
That's okay, good.
No, but I do know that he would appreciate that.
Well, he appreciated it. He wrote it.
One of my first interactions with Claire was, for you know, so for this festival, there is a band contest.
Yes, right. It's already happened.
And bribing is encouraged. And this year, bribing was outlawed.
Oh, really?
But just to increase the irony.
Right, and they fudged the rules.
So yeah, so Walt was like, you know, the bribes sucked, but you guys sucked. But anyway, so the first time I was here, I think it was the first year, I competed.
Mm-hmm, you know, yes.
And Claire came around and I said, I don't have any bribes. And she said, you can use your body. That was my first impression of Claire Miller.
Well, they
this
also
is my Me Too statement.
That's right. That's her Me Too statement. Yeah. So, well, you know, they wrote that huge book. It's like a New York City phone book.
Amazing.
Of course, most young people don't know what a phone book is.
Right.
You'd have to look it up online to see what a phone book is like. But yeah, it's like this compendium of 1,400 tunes.
No bar none. No bars.
No bar lines.
Bars, right. Yeah.
In fact, we took that further last night. I told the guy, not only are there no bar lines, but every note has the same value.
Yeah.
So it makes it just really hard to figure out how the tunes go.
But it's because they're all 16, right. Basically. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's incredible work.
Yeah. Who else have you had on the show?
I had that John Blizzard was the first guy I had on the show. And then I've only got two episodes, so the second one was a guy named Mike Miller. We call him Wichita Slim. He lives in Elkins, West Virginia. I actually called him up. Yet. What's that now?
Haven't listened to that.
Oh yeah, well I actually called him up and had him on Skype. You know,
yeah.
The little screen. He's on the little screen. We're talking, you know, taking calls from the hotline.
Which you should do sometime. Next time you do like a, you should. Did you play with him?
Well, then we played together, right?
So okay. I was wondering if you had like the nerve to actually do that.
Oh yeah.
So did he just like mute himself?
Right.
And so you play.
And he has to start the tune, even though he's playing guitar.
That's awesome.
He has to start the tune. Yeah. You should try it sometimes. It actually does work.
That's hilarious.
We got the idea because you know we wanted to play together, and
yeah.
So we would just take turns. We've had these like 3-hour calls on Skype where we're like go through a 6-pack of beer each, and we're playing tunes back and forth.
That's like kind of romantic.
It is.
No, you hang up.
It's a bromance.
Yeah. That's awesome. I like that. Yeah, I heard that's how Adam Hurt does his Skype lessons when he teaches.
Right.
Play
right.
Along and unmute and be like, how did that go?
And then he can
I was
listen
watching
to
your arm. But, yeah.
But yeah, usually if you're the teacher, you want to, there are times when you want to listen to them.
Right.
And times when you want them to listen to you. So.
Yeah.
Hey, have we got another tune we can do?
Yeah, of course. I've already forgotten. Turkey, no.
What's the other one?
Virginia
name?
Darling.
Virginia Darling.
Yeah.
Now, this is a really, again, you know, I hate to say it, this is kind of a bluegrassy kind of fiddle tune. So, but we'll try it. It's a Bill Monroe thing, actually, but not many people played. I think I had it on an old recording of, there was a guy named Joe Meadows who played, what band? He's from Virginia, and he played for a particular big-name bluegrass band that escapes me now. Let's try a little Virginia Darling. Thank you. great tune, isn't it?
Awesome. Virginia Darling.
Yep. Good
some
title.
Bluegrass musician. Yeah.
That's right. You just became a bluegrass musician. Where are your fingerpicks? Get them out. Have you ever messed with playing bluegrass at all?
You know, there was a minute when I first picked up the banjo where I was like, maybe I'll learn a legitimate technique. Before I learned clawhammer, I was trying to decide.
Oh, you're right.
So I got some picks.
Right.
And quickly decided. Yeah.
Well, you could always.
I might get back into it.
You can always do like Pete Peterson does.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'll start doing old time three finger.
Right.
Slowly work my way to the dark side.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll see. Man, so Darth Vader, there's all these like kid shirts with Darth Vader.
Really?
Yeah, like he's like a. That kills kids.
Right.
You know, my son, like, when he sees, like, at the store, like, a Darth Vader shirt.
Yeah, right.
He's like, hey, I want this shirt.
Right, like, he's like the Hitler of sci-fi.
Yeah, he's, like, the worst. He has this, like, momentary, like, redemption when he doesn't kill his own
come
son.
Come to Jesus moment.
Yeah. He's like, you committed genocide. Like,
right.
How many people like this character?
I know. And they totally give him a pass at the end, too, you know. Kind of like Kim Jong-un.
Yeah. That's why I wasn't afraid, because I didn't have to ask you, how did you learn old-time music? Because I knew that we'd be able to fill the space.
Right, right. But there was no need for that. Do you want to know how I learned old-time music?
I do already
I think we already talked about it.
Let's do it again, whole thing.
What episode was it?
I don't know, it was like a couple months ago.
Do you number your episodes? You don't number them?
No, but I do keep track.
Okay.
Hundreds coming around the corner.
Wow, that's awesome. You like, because, you know, like guys like Joe Rogan, they number, like, he's up to, you know, 1,000 something.
God. Yeah, WTF is, like, in the low 900s, Mark Maron, so.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So another 10 years, I'll get close. So, it used to be, like, 20 years.
I know, those guys who pump them out.
Did I just do really bad math?
Probably, but
okay.
My math skills after drinking this beer. This is really good beer from the Bog Turtle Brewery.
We're making jokes, but this is really good.
It is really good. I don't even know where this place is, do you? Somewhere in Pennsylvania.
It must be.
Because we're here.
It's that Brandywine. It's the only place you can get it once a year. No, it's really good.
Pennsylvania, that's where Dracula's from.
I believe so. You heard it here, folks.
Let's try one more.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean the last one.
Yeah.
Let's just try one more.
My, like, students always get so pissed off when we're doing warm-ups. Like, do that one more time.
Yep.
And then I'll say, okay, one more time again.
You just said one more time.
All right. Let me get to D.
All right. We're going over to D, folks. D is one of the most beloved keys.
All right. Are you saying on record right now?
I'm saying it. Yeah, it's one of the most beloved keys. It's got two sharps. It's got an F sharp and a C sharp, if you didn't know that already. I think we're going to try a tune called Whiskey Before Breakfast, which a lot of people don't realize is from Canada.
What?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Are you serious?
Sorry to burst your bubble there, a great American fiddle tune.
First Hangman's real, now this.
Yeah, oh yeah, Hangman's real. You know, don't get me started on Hangman's real. Yeah, I started hearing Hangman's real at Clifton, and I'd go to people and say, you know, that's not how the tune goes at all. Like, it's like, this is like some virtuoso retuned piece that Jean Carignan played.
Yeah.
And then it became this kind of like festival style standard.
It's yeah.
Blew my mind the first time I heard it. I know that from somewhere. Man. Oh, that's Hangman's.
So are you saying the way that. I've never heard the original.
Oh, you haven't? I'll play it
for you. So that's the virtuosic one?
Yeah.
Because the way everyone plays it is. Well, I'm in the wrong tune.
Right. I don't want to use the word dumbed down, but can I say that?
The edges are rounded off.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, like, they're not rounded off, they're ground off.
Yeah.
Like, you know, one of these grinders you use for welding to grind a bead down. I mean, there's barely anything is left of what that tune. I mean, I'll shoot you a link to listen to that. It's unbelievable how it's played. It's just, it's a tour de force virtuoso French Canadian fiddle tune. Okay, so we're not going to play Hangman's Reel. We're going to play another Canadian
Whiskey
film.
Before Breakfast.
Whiskey Before Breakfast, yeah. So, let's see.
Hey, Mark. No, it's fine. You can interrupt all you want.
Thank you. People from our studio audience.
Don't worry, we can fix it.
shit in the mix.
Everyone look under their seats. You want a car. You want a car. Saying I was OC about the sixth chord, can't lay off.
Those old timers. Boarding for them six chords.
That's right, gotta happen. Gotta happen, baby. Yeah, we had a great session over here by the retaining wall. Claire and Walt. I tell you, that Claire, she gets wound up when she plays now. I mean, she was like on fire. It was incredible.
She's like really good.
Yeah, and the energy
she's like
level.
The best.
Like she was on 11,
and all of her tunes are hard.
Yeah, right. She was playing. We were playing all the notey tunes.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it was a great session until I fell off the wall.
Yeah,
a story for another time. That kind of ruined the evening for me.
Yeah.
I had to go to bed after I fell off the wall. Folks, it can be dangerous here at Brandywine.
They put up lights though.
I know that the lights were kind of the lights kind of fooled me a little bit.
Well, next year it'll be Charlie Walton's.
Right. Well, you know, but I must say my wife offered me the flashlight three times before I left, and I kept saying no, I don't need a flashlight. What do I need a flashlight for?
That's toxic masculinity. Just take the flashlight.
Take the goddamn flashlight. Nope, not taking it. Sorry.
What are you trying to prove, Charlie?
Well, I did prove something.
Oh my God.
So there was a lot of victim shaming after I got out.
The wall's a real bad guy. Right?
Have we got time for one more?
Yeah, Turkey in the Pea Patch.
Oh, yeah. This is a Buddy Thomas tune. Yeah, let's try a little bit.
Hey, should we say this simultaneously?
Yes.
Yeah.
What are we going to say?
Thanks for being on the show.
Hey,
thanks, Charlie, for being on my show.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, okay. Hey, and you know what? I want you to promise me you'll come back again real soon.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, okay. You come to Pennsylvania like a lot.
I know. It's what's the deal with that? I don't get it. I'm drawn here.
More often than
how'd you like the large bowl of brown only M&Ms I had the green before you came?
Oh, it was lovely. You outshone me in your hospitality as a podcast.
Yeah, I had some of that Pierre water, we call it.
Pierre.
Oh, Perrier. That's some of that Pierre water. It was at 42 degrees. So
yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I got to step up my game. What to say.
What's going to be now?
Turkey in the pea patch.
Okay, the memory's not too long these days.
Well, I've already forgotten
how it goes.
Yeah, so you start in, and I'll come in when I want.
I'm going to start out a little slow. Like this.
Yes.
All right. And we're clear.
It seems.